everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show to talk about organic gardening, landscaping, farming, ranching, pest control, all that kind of thing. We don't recommend, if you're new listening to the show, what we don't recommend are the common things done by the industry still to a great degree, unfortunately, using synthetic fertilizers, big no-no, using toxic pesticides is a no-no. We do have pest control. We have natural organic pest control, a completely different way to go, and that's the kind of route we take here. To start with, when you're using a natural organic program, you have, because of the organic fertilizers and amendments and things that we do that are much more common sense, we have healthier plants because the soil is healthier, the roots of the plants are healthier, and we don't have the insects and disease pressure as much. When something pops up, though, we do have techniques and products that work very, very well, and that's what we talk about here on the show. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. We have a newsletter that's free. All you do is fill out the form on the homepage of the website, and you get it on a weekly basis. It's electronic, not in print. But we cover all kinds of things, one subject at a time. The current one that I noticed just hit my computer and is coming to you right now is the one about Easter Island. It's not about gardening. It's about agriculture, though. It's about this incredibly unusual island that's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean where agriculture completely denuded the place, overgrazing it through the years. And now there's very few, there's some eucalyptus trees there and a few introduced trees, but very, very little tree cover like there originally was. But these incredibly fascinating sculptures are there, these big stone sculptures with the very dramatic faces, and there's all kinds of conversation and theory about what they were for and where they came from originally and all that. But basically came from the basalt that's this and limestone that's there on the site, and then the top knots, the hats of the Moai, came from lava, red lava, just like we use for lava. The lava sand and the lava gravel that we use in our gardening is exactly the same material that the hats there on the Moai, which is what the sculptures are called, came from. Anyway, it's there for you, a slideshow. My photography, along with a story that came out recently, is for you there, and it's the newsletter that just came out. If you don't take the newsletter, it'll be in the archives. We'll put it on Facebook, and it'll be available to you. To get the newsletter, just fill out the form that's on the homepage or send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com, and you'll get the newsletter. You can see all the previous ones there in the archives anytime you want to do that. Well, let's go to the phones and catch up with some people, and then we'll work in a few other things. Malia or Malia in Granbury?
Yes. Good morning, Howard. It's Malia.
Malia. Sorry about that. What can I do for you?
Okay. I have a nice crop of butternut squash in my garden that is ready to be harvested. And I'm curious as to the best way to cure the squash so that it will store nicely. I'm concerned about the heat and leaving it out there, as I have read in some places. So do you have a good way to do that?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. The best way on butternut squash is to bring it inside or put it in a barn or someplace where it's shady and coolish. It's one of the good news is it's one of the easiest of all the vegetables to store. It lasts a long time because of the, you know, the thick, really hard coating covering that it has. So it's pretty easy. Just keep it in a cool, dry place.
So I don't need to cut it and leave it out in the garden for a few days. I do notice.
No, just cut it and bring it in and store it in a cool place, and it'll last a long time.
Okay. one is a little wet when I cut it, it still should be fine.
Well, as soon as it has gotten to a point, well, put it this way, if it has hardened off and matured, the stem will be fairly hard at that point, and it'll when you cut it and bring it in, it'll last for a long time. I accidentally kept one around for months one time, and it was just as good as it could be when we finally cut into it and cooked it and ate it. If you cut it when it's younger, it'll be delicious to use as a food, but if it still had a soft stem and it wasn't quite mature, it will not store as long. You'd still do the same thing, though. Put it in dry, cool storage. Probably, no light is best for it as well. But it's one of the easiest of all the vegetables to store. It's tough as a boot.
Okay. And a second question, nutgrass. I had a real problem with nutgrass this year. Do you do anything about nutgrass? We're trying to dig it out, but it's overcome the garden.
Is it in your vegetable garden?
Yes.
I wouldn't worry about it too much in the vegetable garden. In fact, Malcolm Beck did a story. I think we included it in the vegetable gardening book that we did together. He had a corn planting that was the most successful, the most productive one year, where he had a solid ground cover of nut sedge. I mean, it was solid. So yeah, so it doesn't hurt anything that produces above ground like that. Now that I've said that, though, there's a little caveat to that, and it's a warning. Anything that you grow that has a below-ground food crop, onions, garlic, beets, saffron, crocus, in other words, anything that is producing underground, I guess carrots would be in that category. The nut sedge will grow right through it and hurt it. The underground things, you do need to get it out. The best thing to do is to dig it out and literally run it through some kind of a screen and screen all of it out you can. Nut sedge is a sedge, which means that it likes moisture. It likes anaerobic conditions. Where you find nut sedge most commonly will be near sprinkler heads or at the bottom of a area where water is drained down and is sitting in a point and all that. It'll grow in other places, but the main place nut sedge grows is in an anaerobic wet situation. So if you cure that, you can go a long way toward getting rid of it. It also doesn't like molasses. We've gotten rid of it in areas where we've put out molasses heavier than normal two or three times, and it'll slowly die out. I think it's because it kicks up the biological activity in the soil so much, the nut sedge just doesn't like it and dies away. You can also kill it with hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is a liquid product. It is a liquid way to oxygenate the soil. And that oxygenation turns it away from that anaerobic condition, which also helps you get rid of the nut sedge.
Okay, great. Okay, I'll give that a try.
Okay, dope. Talk to you later. But in most cases in the vegetable garden, it doesn't hurt anything at all except for the bulb plants, and it will grow through them and cosmetically mess them up, obviously. Daniel in Chicago somewhere. What part of Chicago are you in, Daniel?
On the east side, close to the lake.
Okay, great. I love Chicago, especially your restaurants.
Yes, we have quite a few of those. Pizza was our big deal.
Right.
My question, Mr. Garrett, is I'm installing a whole house generator. It's a natural gas operated. It's a combustion engine. Mm-hmm. Now, my garden is 8 to 10 feet in that general area. Now, am I going to be poisoning my fruits and veggies?
Where's the exhaust going? Just straight up?
Well, I haven't got it yet. I'm waiting for insulation, but I just thought I'd decide whether it's going to be, I think it's out one end of the unit.
Okay.
And there's a garden over there, and I put up like a little barrier wall, but being it's a gas, it's going to raise and then just go wherever the wind blows it.
Right. Carbon dioxide is a nasty gas, a nasty chemical if you breathed it or if it was surrounding plants and dogs and cats and things like that and birds and wildlife for a long period of time. But when it's being blown out in the air and dissipating, just like it comes out of, any automobiles or any engines right. or anything else, it's going to be dissipating enough to where I don't think it'd be a problem. If you could put it so the prevailing wind is pushing it away from your garden, that'd be ideal. But I don't think I'd worry about it a whole lot.
Okay, so how about rinsing off, which is natural, for any outside bacteria, but is there anything that
I'm going to have to talk to you off the air about it because I got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, be back right after this.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. Sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, don't look now, golf fans, but Jordan Spieth has a lot of golf left. They got to play another 18 holes probably tomorrow. He's tied for the lead. Hang in there, Jordan. I'm sure he will. Al in Dallas next up. Hello, Al.
Good morning, Mr. Garrett.
How are you today?
Oh, pretty fair. You doing all right?
Pretty good.
Listen, on one of your little tutorials that Case Guy broadcast on the weekdays at 1:20, you did one about the cornmeal slurry for addressing nail issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a little more complicated than what I heard you say in the past, but I wasn't in a position to write it all down. Did you say something about needing to soak the feet first in just warm water or something?
No, for everybody listening, he's talking about using cornmeal to get rid of toenail fungus, and it actually works. It was something a listener called us about years ago, and it basically, Al, is pretty simple. You just use the warm water for comfort. That's all that is. But most people just put the cornmeal in water to make kind of a thick slurry, the exact measurements of how much you use per water. I don't think anybody's ever done any research to see what's best there, but you just make a thick slurry and let it sit for a while just to start some biological activity. You put the warm water in there just for comfort. And in the summer, you probably don't even need to do that. The warm water might make the biological activity kick up a little higher, a little quicker. But just then soaking your feet in it, that's all there is. You don't need to soak your feet first or anything like that.
Okay. I got similar results using a product where it's extra virgin olive oil with ozone pumped through it.
Yeah, olive oil tends to work pretty well. I think hydrogen peroxide will work pretty well, too. It's just that the cornmeal issue came up because I was recommending cornmeal to put around plants to cure fungal diseases. And the way it cures them is it stimulates a beneficial fungus called Trichoderma, and that overrides the pathogens. And then somebody discovered, listening to my show, that, well, if it works on that fungus, why wouldn't it work on a toenail fungus? And they tried it, and lo and behold, it worked great.
Yeah, I'm going to try the cornmeal, but, I believe the reason that my fungus came back even after the ozonated gel treatment is because I haven't yet achieved the right body pH. And there's a Dr. Marshall that says the more you get your pH into the ideal zone, the more you increase tissue oxygen. Mm-hmm. So I'm viewing that as the long-term solution. It just takes time to get there.
Yeah, better diet's the key to everything. So give it a try, see what you think, and keep increasing your diet, and I think you can get it under control.
Great. Can you give me some quick tips on lime trees?
Lime?
Yeah, I'm still ruminating about the perfect tree to plant that I'll enjoy, and I was wondering if you could give pros and cons to lime trees or what the best species for North Texas would be and any tips about cultivating the best fruit.
Well, all the lime trees in this part of the world are tropical and going to have to be protected in the winter. So that's the first thing you have to understand. You're going to have to put them in containers and then protect the lime trees in the winter. The toughest one of all would be Kaffir lime. And Kaffir is grown for its unusual-looking and unusual-tasting foliage. The foliage is used in cooking, it's used in herb teas, and that sort of thing. But it's the easiest of all the limes to grow, but you still would have to protect it when you're growing it in Dallas in the winter because the freezing temperature would hurt any of the limes. Key lime is my favorite lime. I love the flavor, and key lime pie is one of my favorite desserts. But it's even more cold sensitive than the regular full size limes. You have to accept the fact that they're tropical and they're going to have to be protected in the winter, which means build a little greenhouse or move them inside into a sunny spot or whatever you have to do.
Okay, so that's not the most ideal tree to have.
Not outside, no. Mm. Now, one citrus that you can grow outside in Dallas and even farther north than Dallas is called trifoliate orange. It's an orange that is hardy, but the fruit tastes like cardboard. It's not any good to eat at all. It's grown as an ornamental, and it's also grown as a barrier plant. It has the most ferocious thorns you've ever seen.
I wouldn't want that. I was hoping to actually be able to grow some citrus I could eat.
Well, that's the ones that are going to be tropical and have to be protected in the winter. That's no problem. You can go that route and move them in and out and have good production in the growing season.
How big do they have to get before they start bearing fruit, and would they be then too big to move?
No, they start bearing fruit within just a couple of years at the most. They bear pretty early, so no problem. Get you some and get it going.
Thank you very much. Keep up the great show, Mr. Garrett.
Okay, Al, thanks for calling. I appreciate it a lot. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. If you have a question and I'm not around, just go to our website. It's pretty simple and pretty easy to use. It's called dirtdoctor.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and let's go to Alvarado, Texas, and talk to George. Hey, George.
Yes, sir. Got a question for you about peach trees.
Okay.
I've got seven peach trees at my house. Two of them I bought at a nursery. They have never produced anything bigger than your little finger.
Okay.
And I got one that I got from a seedling from one of those that's producing pretty good peaches, but it's a dwarf. And I don't know, these the two older ones are probably 10 years old. The rest of them are probably 6 or 7. But they never get any bigger than your little finger.
What's your fertility program, George?
I use, I guess, natural compost, horse manure, hay, grasses.
Stuff like that. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good start, but you're probably got plants that are a little hungry. You probably need to fertilize a little heavier than that. That's ideal as far as the base goes, but some of those hybrid peaches like you have need a little bit more fertility, which means an organic fertilizer, you know, like a Maestro Grow or a Medina or any of the good quality organic fertilizers. And Garrett Juice used both foliar and drenching into the soil. I think you'll see dramatic increases in production if you do those two simple things.
Okay, because they're just loaded with those little peaches.
Yeah.
I mean, flat loaded down, but they just don't get no bigger.
Well, the other thing you might want to do is thin them out. If you thin them out to where you've got about a fist width in between each peach that's left on the tree, those that are left will get a lot bigger. If you do that along with the Garrett juice and dry fertilizer application, you could use dry molasses, you could use green sense, you could use any of the organic fertilizers that would give you that extra little bit of NPK and trace minerals and everything. And then the foliar feeding with the Garrett juice mixture gives you immediate access to those things, both through the foliage and the stems and the trunk and the ground plane, as all of the above.
Okay. Even though these trees are 10 years old, I don't have to cut them down. I can probably get them back to...
Well, I think if you do those two things, you change the fertility and you thin the fruit, I think you're going to see dramatic increases in production.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, let me know how it works for you. Let's go to Carol in Dallas next. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing good. Thanks, Carol.
Good. I'm on the east side of White Rock, so you know what the soil is like here.
Oh, yeah. Same as mine.
And I've got... two big red oak trees and a big live oak out front.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I have is dirt underneath. And I'm looking for a ground cover. And I'm wondering what you might want to recommend.
Well,
I don't want anything that's a vine or a climber because I'm going to have to pull it out of the trees. But
don't
what
don't
you
want
got?
The maintenance. Well, the thing that the tree would vote for, you know what that is, don't you?
What is it?
Shredded native tree trimmings mulch, no plants at all. If the tree could vote, that's what the tree would actually prefer. Now,
Now
the next best thing, and if you want a ground cover that's not going to be a climber and be a maintenance issue, you'd look at liriope, monkey grass, or ophiopogon, which is mondo grass, not the dwarf one. The dwarf one's too hard to grow, just regular mondo grass or ophiopogon.
Okay.
Let's see, what else? What other one might be? All the rest of them will climb sooner or later. Those would be your best choices.
Okay.
There is a native ground cover that you might want to consider, too. It won't climb. It's called horse herb. One word, horse herb. And one of those three would be what I would do. And if you let just a natural kind of a mix grow with wild violets and frog fruit and the horse mint and thing, horse herb and things like that, that's effective too. But again, if the tree gets to vote, the tree would vote for having nothing but the mulch.
Okay. Well, I need a little bit of greenery. I want to do a huge area from the trees all the way up to the house.
Do ophiopogon, mondo grass, and a little wood fern under there, and then leave some other areas just mulch, maybe a little sitting area or a place where you could put some sculpture or put some chairs or something, and have a beautiful low-maintenance setting there.
The shredded native tree mulch, where do I go? A nursery?
You can get it in bags in the nurseries. Shredded native tree trimmings is available that way. Shredded cedar is in that category. You can call the compost companies and you can buy bulk from them and tell them you want some aged, shredded native tree trimmings mulch, and they'll have something along those lines. Don't get pine bark or cypress or that colored mulch that's horrible or any of that stuff. Just shredded native mulch is what you want to ask for.
Okay. I've got a couple of little, they're coming up, asparagus ferns.
Okay.
Around one of them. Do I need to take those out or can I leave them?
You can leave them in, but they're not winter hardy. I've got an asparagus fern, a big one, that I move in and out, and it'll take a little bit of frost, but not very much. So if you want to keep them around, you're going to have to put them in some containers and move them in and out in the winter. Too much trouble.
Yep.
All right, get to work. Oh, she hung up. I didn't do that, David. Julie in Dallas next up. Hey, Julie.
Hey, how are you, Howard?
I'm doing good, thanks.
I started to call you in April when I had my lawn guy plant a 4-inch pecan tree. It was like pulling teeth to get him to take the burlap off and the, you know, it came in a metal kind of cage, like a hanging basket. Okay, so
that's
we get all of that.
That's a big pecan plant, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. that's why I'm kind of panicky right now, because I went out yesterday and the leaves were all brown and crumbly.
That ain't good. All of them?
Yes.
Well, that's not a good sign, Julie. All you can try to do is to...
What happened?
Oh, I don't know. Probably too wet or too dry, one of the two. You know, we had a huge amount of rain, so even though a pecan is a bottomland tree and can take a lot of rain, the huge amount of rain and the constant anaerobic condition that came from that amount of rain could cause some newer plants to have some trouble. In fact, we lost a few newly planted shrubs at our place. If they were established, they tend to do okay, but if they're new and just trying to get started like your tree was, that could be the case. Then the reverse can happen. Once the rain goes away and it gets really hot, it dries out in a hurry, and that could possibly be the case too. But in your case, it was probably too much moisture. Leaving the cages and the burlap and everything on them is not in itself detrimental.
Well, I didn't. I had them take it out.
You had them take all that off? Okay, I was going to say, that's not that huge a deal, but what is a huge deal is if the flare got buried in too deep when the tree was planted.
Well, I think ideally I should, it should have a little more flare, but I was fighting with them on what to do. And I do have some flare, but I thought that I would expose more as time went on.
Well, the combination of the flare being covered a little bit and then the huge amount of rain, that could have been the issue. That 4-inch pecan is a huge pecan to transplant. They're not the easiest to deal with. If you have to start over, you might try to start with a little smaller plant, and you'd be surprised at how quickly a smaller plant will get those roots going and get to be a big tree. That's faster than a bigger one.
Do you think I have any recourse with the tree company?
I don't know. Did you get a planted and guaranteed price?
I don't know. I just paid for it. I didn't.
Yeah, that probably means no, but I would check with them and see. How long has it been since it was planted?
I want to say it was March or, March, April.
Oh, this year? Well, if it's a competent contractor, they ought to stand behind it. Tree companies will give you a 1-year warranty, and it doesn't sound like you did anything wrong. So see if you can't get another one going. And you might tell them, look, I'll work with you. I'll even take a little bit smaller tree.
Right, okay.
All right.
But you think it's gone.
Well, if it's brown and crinkly all over, that's not a good sign.
It didn't have that many leaves as it was, but what it had are all brown.
Well, get in touch with them, get them out and see what they say, and hopefully they'll work with you and help you out.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Appreciate the call very much. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Oh, we got plenty of time for another call. Stella in East Texas is next. Hi, Stella.
Hi. My problem is I'm down here about 2 miles out of Dallas. I'm down here at Lake Fork.
Okay.
I have mealybugs galore on the only crepe myrtle I've got back here. And I done dishwashing soap, but it wasn't on. I done that twice, and now I still got them. And the sticky stuff on top of the leaves, and that kind of washed that off. But those darn bugs are still there, and now it's spreading to my giant elephant ear, and I'm having a hissy fit.
Well, I don't know who recommended Dawn to you. It's not anything I'd recommend, but any kind
of... A girlfriend that grew up in a hot house.
Okay. If you want to use just a soap and water, the best one, and I know some people that are commercial greenhouse operations that use it, it's Lemon Joy soap. If you're going to use just a soap, use it at somewhere between 1 teaspoon and 1 tablespoon per gallon of water. But what works better on mealybugs, if that's in fact what they are, and I haven't
seen...
White
bugs underneath.
Okay, it could be mealybugs. It could, or do they move around at all?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Well, maybe
they're tiny.
What you need to do is this. You need to spray with what's called the fire ant mound drench, and you make that by starting with Garrett juice as the base of the spray, and you add to that 2 ounces per gallon of spray of orange oil. Orange oil in the garret juice, in other words. And you spray real thoroughly, soaking the bottom of the leaves and the stems and the whole plant, and it kills mealybugs very, very well. Plus, you'll foliar feed the tree in the meantime. The second thing, and it's more important, is to get the soil and the mulch and the beds and everything off of the flare.
There's nothing on it. There's just nothing but dirt under there.
Well, dirt. Get the dirt off then. get whatever's
it's
there.
It's just dirt. I mean, there's nothing under the tree but dirt.
That's not the point. The point is it's up on the flare. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut, and that's what's causing the mealybugs to be there in the first place. You got to get that off. You got to get the soil off the flare, kill the mealybugs, and then they won't come back. If you don't get the soil off the flare, they're going to come right back. I'll be back after this.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we got a little rush there on that last call about the flare. Whenever you have aphids or mealybugs or any of those common kind of insects, they are pests, and you can take care of them with the techniques that we talk about. You can use lemon joy soap. You can use the orange oil mixed with Garrett juice. You can use spinosad products to kill them. But if you don't change the conditions that brought them on in the first place, they're just going to come right back. Mealybugs are classic. They'll be on a plant that's in stress, and that's it. They won't be there unless the plant's in stress. One of the most classic examples, and I think we have a picture in the Texas Bug Book, of mealybugs that were on a native oak, really infesting it badly. Malcolm Beck and I were looking at it on a farm, and we were asking the people if they used a bunch of chemicals around the tree, and they said no, we don't do that. And they said, oh well, yeah, we use pre-emergent herbicides. I said, well, duh, that was the cause. So we did the sick tree treatment, which was to treat the root zone of the tree with aeration, rock powders, and sugars. The explanation of the sick tree treatment is under guides on the homepage of our website. And sprayed the tree with what I was talking about, basically the mound drench, which is compost tea, orange oil, and molasses. But the easier way to make it is just use Garrett juice mixture as the base and add 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon to that spray. Spray it, you foliar feed, you kill the mealybugs and all that. And then you've done the sick tree treatment to correct the toxic nature of the soil from using the herbicides in the past. But if there's the other thing that's important and more common with the homeowners is if there is soil up or mulch, either one, up on the flare of the tree, that's the cause of the stress. And the mealybugs will be right back even if you kill them. So you want to have that flare on any tree dramatically exposed, but on crepe myrtles have very, very dramatic flares. And almost 95%, close to 100% of them, unless they've actually been proactive and changed it, of crepe myrtles are too deep in the soil. They come too deep in the containers when they're bought at the nursery. they're planted a little bit too deep, or what the homeowner thinks is the right height, and then they settle some, and they end up being several inches too deep in the soil. You've got to correct that. You've got to get the soil, dirt, mulch, whatever it is that's on that flare off, so that flare is dramatically exposed for the plant to be as healthy as its potential would allow it to be. Tim in Cleburne is next up. Hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
I have a problem. I don't know if birds brought these in. I have little volunteer melons. Well, they're not so little. The melons only get about the size of an apple. They look like watermelons, but they're round.
Okay.
The vines have big, big leaves. If you pull them, there's a distinct, unpleasant odor. And the vines get long and intertwined. I mean, they are like 20, 30, 40 feet long, multiple stems, 3 feet high. Nothing tries to eat them, no raccoons, no skunks, no birds.
Okay. I'll tell you what to look up, Tim. Look up on the Internet buffalo gourds, and I think you'll see what you have.
Okay, what's the best way to eliminate?
they're pretty easy to pull out. Just pull out where they're growing. They're not growing and then rerooting all over the place. It's just, as you probably have already noticed, just one giant plant that's running all over the place. And if you pull it out, use a sharpshooter spade, or just pull it out at the point where it's growing, toss it in the compost pile, and be done with it. It's pretty easy. I had one that I pulled out yesterday that's similar. It's called a cucumber vine, and it was growing over in some perennials, and I hadn't noticed it. And it's a vine that'll grow, it seems like, 2 or 3 feet a day. And,
right.
And
right.
It's the same thing. It's real easy to pull out, but you've got to do it and not let it get too carried away before you start working on it.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, buffalo gourd's kind of interesting. It'll either be that or something very similar. So doing a search on that's a good way to get started there. William, I think we have enough time for you. You got a comment for us on GMO food?
Yeah, Howard. Well, last Tuesday, the House Agricultural Committee approved this measure that bans the mandatory labeling of genetically modified foods. Now, that's going to have to go to the House, I guess, and on to the Senate. Want to watch that. Then Carol Alvarado from Houston, a state rep there, filed House Bill 3499 that says Texas will have to have all foods labeled if they have GMOs. So,
all right,
let's
good.
Support that, man.
You bet, and we all should. I appreciate you bringing it up, and everybody can look into that and hopefully support that. Thanks, William. Appreciate your call. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I have certainly enjoyed being with you today. It's been a good show, fast-moving, a lot of good questions and comments and some good tips, especially like the one about cucumbers. If you didn't hear it, you'll have to listen to the replay to get it, and I'll talk about it again next week. And during the week, while I'm not around, go to dirtdoctor.com to get your questions answered. If you've got a question that's not on the website, send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. That's how to get the free newsletter as well. Easiest way, just go to the website and fill out the form that's there. Enjoy your gardens wherever you are, and don't forget to feed and water the birds. See you next time.